Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come together and worship You. And Lord, we just thank You for this day. And Lord, we give all thanks to You. I pray a special protection of the congregation and people we come in contact with. And Lord, I pray You'd speak to us through Your Scripture and how You have called out Your people to share Your Word, have called us out. Lord, I just pray You anoint each person this morning and just have their hearts open to hear Your Word. I pray You don't anoint me. I just speak things of Your Word, Lord. So we give this time to You as we come together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a fun book this morning. 2 John. Turn to 2. How many of you heard a message on 2 John? Just curious. 2 John? I haven't heard many messages on 2 John either. I mean, it's just one chapter. It's just one chapter. And it follows 1 John, okay? Because John was writing in-depth, really concerned about his believers, his churches, and so he wrote 1 John. And so you have 2 John, kind of a follow-up. Okay, people, and you're trying to look at the church, encourage them, and with the, you know, division and false teachers that are coming in. So here we are in 2 John. You can say after this morning, I heard a message in 2 John. All right. Doesn't have to be good or anything. You just said, I heard it. So 2 John, and we're going to look at verse 7. And you see the title, Many Deceivers. Many Deceivers, the title. So look at 2 John, verse 7. Says this, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, it's really, as you look at this, you see this incredible strong warning to the people at that time. And again, it's good for us to think back. This was 2,000 years ago. You think, oh my gosh, look at the stuff going on now. It's always been going on. And from the very beginning, they were antichrist because of Satan's work. He knew exactly what was going on. So immediately as the church is starting, you have these false teachers and these deceivers coming and being involved. And so we're going to look at that because there is an application today. And I think it would help us too, because have any of you thought like, what in the world? How will you ever know these people? This, you know, they're claiming to be Christians. They're claiming this. They're claiming this. And it's just this, Lord, why don't you do something with all these false teachers, or if they're false teachers and stuff like that? Well, what God does, He warns us. He tells us. And so it's up to us to know His Scriptures and be able to discern. Because He's not going, well, I'm not going to say He's not going to deal with them, but they are still deceiving people at the present time. So God is warning us of many deceivers now among us. You know, we think, oh, these people and these non-believers, and God's warning us about them. That's not what He's warning us about. He's warning us about these people in the church. Our claiming is the church universal. He's warning us about these people. It's who it is, you know. And so it's specifically to the church to pay attention to what's going on in the church, and we need to be aware. Now, these people may be working out of their flesh, you know, just out of their flesh, or even demonically influenced. But that's not who we're talking about. People just working out of their flesh or demonically influenced. It's not. See, the particular deceivers addressed here are called Antichrist. Antichrist. This means they live out their name. Antichrist. See, so that's where your antennas go up. You know, you got somebody working out of the flesh, and he's a thief, and he's trying to walk off with the offering. You know, we'll catch him and say, figure that out. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Or even, you know, some experience with demonic thing. Oh, man, this is not good, you know. But that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about within the body who are anti-Christ. They're not necessarily stealing the offering. In fact, they may be your best givers. You know, it's not, that's not what they're working. It's anti-Christ. And so that's what we really want to have our antennas up on. And in this case, an antichrist, you know, means against Christ. So underlining what they say, it's against Christ. And it's important to know that and keep that in their minds. Now, in this case, specifically, they are denying that Jesus will return to earth in the flesh. So that's the issue right here. And they say, Jesus is not coming back. See, that's what they're saying. Jesus, okay, Jesus, and they have these other things. And they go, Jesus is not coming back. Well, there's several issues we can discuss on that. But what that statement is, it's anti-Christ. See, it's anti-Christ. And you go, whoa. So you step back. I mean, you don't even, I mean, there's things to study and look at, and, you know, you should know certain things. But that statement was anti-Christ. So immediately, you know who you're dealing with. And repentance, you know, is probably not going to be in their vocabulary. All right. But, I mean, you don't know that. But it's for us to be aware. What is someone saying that's anti-Christ? So we saw last week in 1 John, he said the same thing. 1 John 2:18, he said, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. See, against Christ. The final Antichrist is against Christ. He's a bad dude, all right? I mean, he's bad any way you look at it. But his issue is he's against Christ. That's what makes him worse than anybody else. Now, these deceivers within the body, and when I talk about the body, I want you all to, what I'm talking about is not so much our body, although we're vulnerable, you know, as anybody else. But I'm looking at and I'm thinking about the church, you know, world church, the church, the worldwide church. And so you've got all sorts of churches that claim the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. Now, you have some people just out and out say they're a church and don't have anything to do with Jesus. And that's pretty, you know, one's pretty aware of that. But so when I talk about the church, don't think I'm picking on you or I'm picking on any other specific church. But the point of it is we need to know what's going on and what we have to really pay attention to. And it's not so much, oh, the demon possessed or the, you know, the thieves or whatever. Those, it's the people that are anti-Christ, and we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that. So these deceivers have the characteristics of this coming world leader, which will be Satan incarnate. You know, Jesus was God incarnate. This Antichrist is going to be Satan incarnate. I mean, so he's kind of have some authority about him. He's called the, capital T, Antichrist, capital A, the Antichrist. Now, here's something to know. For the most part, these people will be really nice, really charismatic, really gifted, so sincere, right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What? Because Jesus was. He was. So if you're going to fake people out, you have to imitate who you're faking, you know. And so these guys will be the front. They're going to look good. They're not going to look that bad, all right? I think that's where we get. Oh, they're so nice and loving, you know. And that's really the thing that gets us in trouble. That really gets us in trouble. Some of us gets us in trouble anyway. So they will have an appearance of godliness, but deny Christ's power. Now notice, and that verse comes from Jude. They have an appearance. They have an appearance of godliness. What? They don't look bad. They don't look bad. And so, but they don't have the power of Christ, and that's not their issue. Now, I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to call out any names or things, but I'm going to give you some examples that we understand. First of all, this is not people who like Antichrist. Within the church body, there are a lot of differences of opinions, all right? But they're not Antichrist. There's differences in opinions on the end times, okay? Now, on each group, they may call each other Antichrist, but they're not. They just have a difference of an opinion. And they have scripture to back it up. They just look at things different. Some believe in the rapture. Some don't believe in the rapture. I had a guy tell me, I must admit it kind of irritated me, but I didn't let it get away. He goes, oh, these people believe in the rapture. You don't know if you're coming up or going down. You're just confused. Jesus, I love you, and he's going to be in heaven when you're going to tell him how wrong he is. But anyway, other than that, so anyway, you see the things I have to confess. Or, you know, that you have people that have all sorts of views on different things, spiritual gifts, views. Well, you're going to have people in heaven on both sides of the aisle, just totally convinced of that. I had the opportunity one time to meet a guy, and his name was, I'm sure it was Gresham, and he was the head of the Presbyterian Conference, one of them. Oh, it was huge, but he was the and I met him. He's like 80 years old, you know, and he definitely did not believe in the rapture. Yeah, I mean, like, definitely did not believe. But we talked to him and asked him a question. He was really a sharp guy. He definitely didn't believe that the gifts were here today. In fact, he told me, he says, you tell me where God's did a miracle for you, and I'll prove you wrong. I thought, you know, this guy's just not touchy-feely. He's not, you know, it's just like, so I didn't say anything to him. And Pastor Minner was with me, and we're driving back. I'll never forget. He says, you know, he doesn't believe anybody's saved except him and his wife. And he's not sure about his wife. Anyway, this guy's going to be in heaven. He knew the gospel and said it, you know. I mean, he was positive. Myself and Pastor Minner wouldn't be in heaven, but he was going to be in heaven. And another guy that I never met this guy, but and I'm sure you've heard J. Vernon McGee. You like that? Now, what this Gresham is a covenant theologian. You know, you don't believe in the rapture and all that stuff. Well, J. Vernon McGee is a dispensationalist. I mean, solid dispensational. And you listen to him. I love his voice, you know, just to listen to him on his radio. I just love his voice, you know. But he is as hard-nosed as this other guy in the Presbyterian. I mean, it's like there's no give, you know. It's like here's the truth and be loving to other people until God corrects them. I mean, you know, he's just, they didn't leave anything. But he's a believer, dispensational, he's a believer. And then I actually met with John Wimber. Now, I don't know about John Wimber, especially like 30 years ago. John Wimber was the one who came in, and he is really the father, you know, of the modern day charismatic movement, where the gifts of the Spirit and the things, and where it's him. And boy, he took a lot of flack on it. And he has met him, and now he was nice. Maybe the other guys are nice too, but he was nice to talk to, and really kind, you know. And he talked about that and knew the God. By the way, all three of these guys know the gospel frontwards and back. Okay, and he shared some things about gifts of the Spirit and stuff. Really encouraging things. And they're all, by the way, they're all dead now. They're dead. And they're in heaven. I can see, you know, Jesus has got to be like a referee up there with these three guys. You know, it's like, okay, back up. Listen. You know, now which one of them is right? Which one is right? Now I bet all three of them have some things that are right. And all three of them have some things that are wrong. And he'll settle it out. You know, and I think they're all going to have to ask each other for forgiveness and all that, you know, because they would not sit down and have lunch here on earth together. They wouldn't, you know, they just wouldn't, because they think they're that far. But the point of it, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about sincere people that love Jesus based on the Word of God that have different views, and we have to recognize what those views are and allow that, and we should love each other and, you know, be embracing and be considerate. You don't have to go to their church, but we should love each other. Amen? Okay, even if they don't love us. But this is not what this is talking about. It's talking about something else. It's talking about something that all three of these guys would reject. See, all three of them. And what it is they're anti-Christ. And so there's certain things that someone can preach that is against Christ. It's not a difference of an opinion. It's against Christ. And that's where we have to show wisdom. And I want to share a couple of things. And one of them, and I've shared this before, when I came to know the Lord, I read the Bible, came to know the Lord. I'd never been to church, so I didn't know. I mean, I did not know anything except reading the Bible one time through. And so it was Easter, and Linda and I, we were in Los Angeles. And we thought, well, maybe we should go to church on Easter. I mean, I didn't, you know, it's just, so we just drove around town, looked for a steeple, we didn't know where you go. And so we went to this church, and it was real nice, people were real nice, and this guy, I just remember this guy, and I'm not being critical, he's just a little, he's just one of these what's happening now guys, you know, long hair, and, you know, just kind of give you a high five, and you walk in, and, I mean, this is, I don't know, 40 years ago? I mean, it's a long time ago. Okay, but nice. I mean, everybody was over top nice. So I'm sitting there, and the guy says, so wonderful to have you this Easter. And he said, I just want you to just get away all your prejudice and stuff, and let's just be in here, love each other. And you know, some new here says, don't get hung up on the resurrection. Don't get hung up on the resurrection. It's not that big a deal. It's Christ's love. And I'm sitting there going, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, you know? And I'm thinking, this guy knows what he's talking about, and I know nothing. But I have a funny feeling I know more than he does. And I couldn't, and it really bothered me. So you go, hey, you new, yeah, here, what's your name? I'll come and we'll visit. I go, no, that's all right. That's all right. So that's the last time we went to church. I thought, well, that's no, you know, these people don't know what they're talking about. Okay. So, but what that guy was, he was really, really nice. You know, high fiver like that. He's Antichrist. He was Antichrist. He spoke against Christ. Well, what's so important? Resurrection is not a big deal. Without the resurrection, you don't have Christianity. You know, I mean, and like I said, I didn't know, you know, but I knew that. I knew that. You know, and that it really affected me. Hey, you want to come to church with me? No. No. That's a bunch of nonsense, you know. So, anyway, and I didn't particularly want to go before this, but that confirmed that I didn't want to go after that. But, and then there was another church, and we, Linda and I, went to, long story there, and this guy was another nice guy. He's a super nice guy. And we got into it. Now, I didn't behave myself real well. You know, I mean, again, I didn't know anything. I'm going to cut me some slack. But he denied the inerrancy of Scripture. Oh, Jesus is love. He loves you like that. And so I pulled up a Scripture and asked him a question. And he said, well, no, it's just a metaphor. I said, what are you talking about? Then, no, it's just it's what it says. This is what happened. Well, you can't be so sure it happened like there, and they're just trying to describe something that's not that clear. I go, says what it says. Now, I'll never forget, and I'm not being, it's just not knowing somebody who should know. He said, well, you're in the Bible, and he said, what would you want to know about the Bible? I said, I really would. I don't want to, I said, who is Melchizedek? Now, I did. Now, I didn't know. I'm not church. I don't know. I never heard of Melchizedek until I read it. And I thought, who is this dude? You know? So I asked him, who's Melchizedek? And he did like, who? Wait a minute. You don't know who Melchizedek is? I said, I know. I don't know who Melchizedek is, but you ought to know who Melchizedek is. And he's telling me, that's a metaphor. And anyway, we departed on not so good terms right there, you know. So we left. The guy, a nice guy, Santa Christ. He was an Antichrist. And you know, and I look at myself in both situations, I think I came in there very vulnerable to be influenced by an Antichrist, okay? But what I did, I knew Christ. So you can confuse me about a lot of stuff except that. You know, that's all I knew was Christ. And that was, I said, now I didn't know these guys were Antichrist. I just thought that was messed up. I didn't know really what was going on with that. So anyway, we left. Now what I'm telling you that when he says be aware is you go into these situations, you listen to people and they're all over the map, but focus on what they say about Christ. And then you move out from there. Move out from there. I got to share one more. Now, this was recently. Now, I have clay feet, okay? I should be nicer certain times, you know? Obviously, I should be nicer all the time. I was at the house, and so the doorbell rings, and I'm in a hurry. I can't remember where I had to go. Linda wasn't there. I was there by myself, and I had to get somebody really quick. So I looked at, and I'm not going to mention any names, but you'll figure it out. Two nice young men came to the door. They're the nicest, oh, the sweetest kids. I mean, you'd want your kids to grow up be as nice as these kids, you know? So I opened it up, and he said, "We will talk to you about Jesus." I said, "I don't have time right now." And he says, "Well, everybody has to have time for Jesus." You know, I said, "I'm a pastor." "Oh, are you? That's so wonderful." You know, I says, "But I don't have time right now. And we just believe things are really different. And, you know, God bless you, but I have to go." "Well, what do you believe different than us?" And, you know, you just slam the door in his face or you stay. And it's just like, I said, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God." "Oh, I believe Jesus is the Son of God." And I'm thinking, "You don't. You don't. You absolutely, you do not believe that." "Yes, I do." I said, "I believe you're saved by faith through grace." "I believe that." And I said, "You don't believe that." He says, "It's just like C.S. Lewis says." And he reads me C.S. Lewis. I'm going, "Don't quote me, C.S. Lewis. You're quoting me, C.S. Lewis? What are you doing?" I said, "That's not what that means." And he says, "Well, no, it says we're just the same." And then, you know, I didn't care where I was going. I wasn't going any place. I'm just okay. I said, "No, we are not the same. We're not the same. I believe Jesus, the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is within heaven. I believe Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. I believe we are forgiven. That's what I believe." You know, and this is a nice kid. And I was fixing to just jump on him. I mean, he was irritating me so bad. Like, but he's so sweet. He's just a nice kid, right? And then finally I go, and we had this conversation. I said, "I want to tell you, I believe Jesus Christ was not created. He eternally exists. Eternity past, eternity future. Jesus always has been." He goes, "I don't believe that." I said, "I told you. Told you we didn't believe that." You know, it's like that. And I said, "So that's it." You know, he's, "Well, okay, that's fine." And then he goes, "Well, is there anybody else around here that would like to hear about Christ?" I go, "No." I mean, what am I going to send him to? What get in the discussion? And then he goes, "Well, we can come back. Would you like us to mow your grass?" And I thought, "Well, maybe he'll let him do that." But no, I did that. But what I'm saying, now, okay, you go through. Now, by the way, the nicer bunch in that conversation with these two kids, I mean, they never raised their voice. They were sweet. They just, honey dripped off their lips, you know. But they were Antichrist. They were Antichrist. See, there's Antichrist. See, and the issue, everything we talked about, were there, what they said, it fell down on Christ. And I really had to zero in on who Christ was, and was he eternity past, eternity future. They couldn't go there. They could go everywhere that every Christian statement I made to them, they could go, except that one, which denies who Christ is. He's God incarnate. So anyway, you like these stories. But what I'm saying, we need, now you don't have to, in fact, encourage you to be nicer. You get more, you know, things with honey than a stick, you know. But anyways, it'd be a little bit nice. But the point of it is, we need to know, not to have an argument or anything like that, but we need to know who we're talking to. It's like, no, this is Antichrist, and we need to be careful. We don't want to be caught up in their theology, right? You don't want to get caught up in that. And it's not, well, this, I don't know, maybe it is. But that, we know. That we know. And if they don't know that, they can't get to wherever we are. See, if they don't know Christ. Those two boys could never get where I was going and what I was talking about because they denied the deity of Christ. Now, I share another guy. Here's a pastor. I looked this up. I mean, I knew it, but I knew about it and I wanted to check it. I'm not going to use his name because I don't want to, pass on slander or something, although it's not slander, it's the truth. But there's a preacher, and he's not local, so I'm not picking on anybody local. He is out in the Midwest, I think that's where he was for a while. And this is recent, say, last 10 to 20 years, and he's still present in a different capacity. And he was on, say, 10 years ago, he was on Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World. He's a pastor. Time's magazine list of 100 people, the most influential people in the world. He's on their list. And he pastored a church like 10,000 plus. And he had a bunch of books. He had some videos that were just outstanding, you know, like how to share your faith and stuff. I mean, just really, you know, how to meet people, getting out, you know, start up conversations and stuff like that. And I must admit, and I watched these videos, and they're really good. I mean, they were well done. And he was, and I'll be honest, he was just a little bit too loosey-goosey for me, okay? I mean, he's just a dynamic, you know, guy, and he's charismatic. And so you listen to him, you try to learn something. And this man was a deceiver. He's Antichrist. I mean, and what happened, and I picked it up for me early on before it kind of other people, I shouldn't say that. I just picked it up early on, okay, that something was wrong. But there was scripture, good scripture shared through that. And, you know, he knew a lot, and he said some good things. But I read in one of his books, and he said this. He said, when you're sharing people, he says, you don't have to get hung up on difficult things in the Bible. And he says, you know, don't ever, you know, you don't have to try to explain to somebody the virgin birth, and you don't want to get hung up on the virgin birth. And he says, just, you're going to set that aside. It's not that big a deal. Whoa, buddy. Now, everything else up to this time, and I thought, no, that is a big deal, and you can't set that aside. If you set that aside, you set aside the deity of Christ. You set aside, you know, everything that we stand on is Christianity. I mean, he just blew it off. And it wasn't a big statement with them. It was just almost a passing statement. And I thought, I'm done with you. I'll never read anything. I threw all his books away, tapes and everything. I'm done. I'm finished with him. Like, I don't care where he goes, I wouldn't walk across the street to see him. Now, that's just me personally. I never said anything. You know, it's just like, and I even had people talk to me, he read this book. It's really good. Oh, that's good. You know, I just, you know, so just let it go. So that was the red flag. But what was the red flag? Did I have to know everything about him? Everything? No. That one statement told me, no, there's something wrong. When you say the virgin birth is not important, there's something bad wrong going on here. But see, the point of it is, that's all you have to know. That's all I got to know, everything. And that, no, you don't. Go back to Christ and what it says about, and that's what we're looking at. And that statement's Antichrist. That's an Antichrist statement. Now, what happened since then, he's come forward. I mean, it was just like this was a crack in the dike, and he's come forward with several heretical teachings, and now most evangelical. There you go. I actually have said it before, but anyway, evangelical says most evangelicals have rejected his heretical views. I mean, they've come out with papers and stuff, and they're coming out because what happened, that was just the crack that he moved in. And the thing that he come at, well, you got to love people, and you're going to have more people who come in. You can embrace them without getting hung up on these doctrines, and then you can show more love to Antichrist. Pure and simple. Now, this guy was humming. Now, we're not talking, like I said, who you know made Time's top 100 list is the most influential people in the world. Somebody pastored 10,000 church, believing church. In fact, it was called Bible Church, Bible Church. You know, but somewhere along there, this guy stepped off the rails. All right. Now, again, what do you need to know? Everything about, no. You know, all the books have come out about him. Okay, I'll leave that to them. He lost me at the virgin birth. You see what I'm saying? Now, so this is for us to understand and to know what's going on around us. And again, this guy, I've heard him talk. Oh, I mean, it's a good speaker. Charismatic. I mean, neat guy. He's Antichrist. He's Antichrist. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians, we shouldn't be surprised. God tells us not to be surprised. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such men, okay, this guy, you know, the two boys at my house, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if Satan's servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Amen? So we need to be aware. We just need to be aware. But again, we don't have to be scared because, I mean, how many here think that the virgin birth is a big deal? Okay, I mean, you don't have to know much, but you need to know Christ and about Christ and his deity, okay? And the thing that Satan wants to destroy and the things of our salvation is Christ. All this stuff is fluff, and just like my three theologians, Gresham, Wimber, and Packard, they're on heaven. Jesus will figure that out, okay? And he's going to make them work that out. But they're all in heaven. But this guy and those boys that came, they're not. They're nice, but they're Antichrist. They're against Christ. And we all can get to heaven if we're for Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so these men are revealed. They're revealed when God, and by the way, this is what God is telling us. I mean, how many times have I heard people, but they're so nice. You know, they're so sweet. You know, it says these men are revealed as instruments of Satan who disguise themselves as servants of Christ. Can you imagine just the love and the dynamic of Christ being here? I mean, if he showed up, I mean, everybody just sat down and said, oh, my God. You know, it just, well, Satan disguises himself to appear like that. That's how he does. People say, oh, Satan's coming, horns, tail. Mm-mm. He can look like Jesus. He's going to look like Jesus. You know, but he'll deny Christ. Because he can't win unless he denies Christ. So he can't, that's one thing he can't do. He can confuse us on other things. Now, so, and this, the reason he's showing us, you know, what, the reason God shows us this, because he's telling us about two opposing spheres. We always, you know, we have multitude of, oh, this group that, and all this, you know, we try to get everybody together. And God goes, no, there's just two spheres. One's for Christ, one's for Satan. Just two. That's what Jesus said, and that's what he says here. There's just two. Therefore, we see that the main purpose of these people is to usurp true Christian authority, just as Satan tried to make himself like God and usurp the one and only true God, as stated in Isaiah 14, 13 to 14. See, it's to throw the whole thing off. Well, you know, then you have to usurp Christ. You know, Satan said, I'll be like God. He said that, I'll be like God. That tells you a lot about Satan. I'll be like God. I had a mother tell me one time, she said she's disciplined her son. Says, you want to be a strong man? Who do you want to grow up like? He goes, I want to be God. You're the kids. Okay. Take it down a step. We'll work with that like that. Now, but the problem is you have the thing where Satan says, I want to be. Do you know why Satan didn't say, I want to be greater than God? You know why he didn't say that? He couldn't imagine it. There's nothing great. He couldn't imagine, even in his evil mind, anything greater than God. So I'm going to be like God. That's what he says. That Isaiah 14, 13, really interesting. So you see Satan's attitude, and that's the reason when John talks about, oh, all this stuff going on, but there's deceivers and they're Antichrist. Antichrist. And then that's a key of how destructive. Would it be more destructive? And again, this, I'm doing a little metaphorical commentary here, so don't hold me too tightly to that. I mean, would this church suffer? Which would it surface worse? That we had a guy come here that we knew to be a thief, you know, had evidence against him? Or those two boys that so sweet and denied Christ? Which is the greatest threat to the church? Which is the greatest threat to your kids? Those two boys. You know? So, I mean, our thinking has to change. All right? Our thinking has to change and understand what's going on around us. Now, and we also need to be aware that, and by the way, we know this, you know, we need to be aware that Satan's attacks on the church are seldom frontal. Oh, Satan attacked. No, you don't know. No, he did in there and gone. You know, or he's in there and you're not sure. You know, it's not frontal. It's not frontal. It's not the horns and red suit and the tail. That's not how he comes in. He comes in and it's like those two boys. They're sweet. You know, and so that's what you have to be aware of. But again, we center it on Christ. We center it on Christ, you know, and that's the point. And if you have to get over that point, then you can go anyplace else. And that's something we need to understand with everything and when talking to anyone. Now, and these people, because it's not a front attack, they're more subversive and carry out, and it's carried out by those within the church who may just be misguided, you know. But the thing of it is, that's where you have to go back and center it all on Christ. You drop Christ, and then you're open up to all sorts of things. You have to just stick there. You have to constantly stick there. And now, so John has warned his church. Now, this is 2,000 years ago. John's telling this church. And he's already preached to them. He, you know, that's his church. And so he's telling these people to pay attention. And so he warns them to be alert. Now, I just read, you know, verse 7. I'm going to show you that. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and an antichrist. Okay, now here's verse 8. Next verse. 2 John, verse 8. Watch yourselves. There you go. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Now look at that. That is a fascinating verse. Because, listen, you guys are trucking. I mean, you're looking good. You're trucking. But watch out so you may not lose what we've worked for, but may win the full reward, meaning there's possibility of a partial reward, you know, that we may win the full reward. Now, so Jesus declares, watch out, and it says, and it literally means be looking out for yourselves. So it's us on us, okay, us on us, me on me, you on you. Be looking out for yourself. Every believer needs to be alert concerning deception. See, they're deceivers. Deception. Say something, mean something else. It's covered up. They're not getting the truth. It's a deceit. And so you're not sure. You're not sure. How many times have you been dealing with somebody doing, I'm not sure? God says, I'm not the author of confusion. So when you're not sure, you better take a deep breath and look around. You see what I'm saying? It's like, because their whole aim and game is to deceive. You know, and I love, you know, Satan's first temptation, and he ain't changed an iota. Ain't changed an iota. You know, Satan's a lot of things, but he's not creative. He's not. He goes, first sin, he goes, hath God said? I'm so confused. About what? Well, I thought God told me this. And now. You're not confused. You've been tempted. You know, what he told you the first time, do it. Anyway, so he's, again, he's warning us, keep out of the muck here. So what he's saying, that every believer needs to be continually alert concerning deception. Our salvation is solid. Okay, nobody losing their salvation. Okay, zippo. Okay, our salvation is solid, but we need to watch what we do so we do not lose the benefit of our work for the kingdom now. We got stuff to do, and it talks about rewards. Losing rewards and getting. We're saved. We're saved. Actually, I'm pretty happy with that. You know, I'm in, man. I just like, yeah, you ain't doing much. That's okay. I'm in. Anyway, and so we have to be aware. Thank you. You know, so such is what has been accomplished in our Christian lives up to this point. The full eternal reward of God has prepared those. The eternal reward that God has prepared for those who remain faithful. You remain faithful. He's prepared a reward. It says it all through it. And the vital present dynamic relationship with we experience God now. See, all those things we can lose, okay, because of what decisions we make, you know, and that makes, you know, and again, that's where this verse makes so much sense. And it says that you may not lose what you've worked for. Salvation? No. You're in. You're in. Tony Amario and I used to joke, and him more than me, he said, I'm in. He said, and we discussed that we were both in, but we're going to have to clean bathrooms in heaven. But that was okay. We were in, you know, things like that. I don't think Apostle Paul has to clean any bathrooms. I mean, he's up there, and I'm happy about that. But we're all in. Now, so you see this, and so you start understanding it, so that we may not lose what we have worked for. You have done some things that are pleasing to God, and there are rewards that he will give you, you know. And it said, work for, and may win a full reward. Didn't say win a reward, a full reward. You only get half of your reward. Okay, that's good. You know? So he's saying, pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're doing. Now, so these warnings also address the situation when we are partially deceived. Y'all with me? Partially deceived. I mean, you deny Christ and you follow some of those people, and I mean, you're hurting. But we can be partially deceived. Partially deceived. And lose some portion of our reward, our past faithfulness. For our past preservation, perseverance. See, we can get a partial reward. We just, because we got partially deceived. Such blessings are received according to one's labor here on earth. See, there's a reason. Everything. And it's not like black, white, you're in, you're out. Like salvation, you're in, you're out. But while we're here, we are rewarded eternally proportionally to what we do. And that makes, then you understand what the scripture will talk about giving rewards. It has nothing to do with salvation. We're in. And it makes a great point of that. But he said, listen, there's things you need to do. I've got you here for a purpose, and I want to empower you, and I want to direct you in this life. I had I'm just pulling things out there. Somebody said, you know, they just trust God, and, you know, God can't bless anybody unless they step out and do it themselves. Well, yeah, but no. I need to hear God and then move out on what God says. But if I'm partially deceived that I only can get what I can only have what I get, then I deny some of God's blessing. I'll lose my salvation. I'll probably even get a few rewards. But God said, no, you come and get everything when you come to me and trust me and do exactly what I say. See, so there's a difference. See, that's partially being partially deceived. You see what I'm saying? There's a guy. This guy really helped me. He was, he was a tremendous pastor, and he just was incredible. At my time in life, he really had some good points. And I went to one of his retreats, and so I'm listening. There's like 2,000 pastors there, so I'm sitting. So he goes to the thing. Then he does this thing. Well, I'll tell you what it was, because you'll be wondering. He did this thing on music. He did on music. The guy hated rock and roll. I mean, it was of the devil. I mean, there was no, you stepped off the edge when you listened to rock and roll music. And he said his goal to the end of his ministry was to keep rock and roll music out of the church. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? I mean, everybody's going to hell in a handbasket, and you're worried about rock and roll music? I mean, I thought, what are you doing? That was my first thought like that. And then he went through, you wouldn't believe. He almost convinced me. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, he had so much stuff there. And so he had us all turn around, had pews. Everybody turn around in your pew, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray to keep rock and roll music out of the church. So here I'm on my knees, on the pew, you know, I think, what am I doing? You know? And he goes, and he says, listen, and he says, what, you got to go, and I want you to go before the Lord. And he says, don't be deceived by any pastor that speaks to you. And I go, that includes you. I did. That was my prayer. That includes you. And so I cleared up right then, you know. I'm not, because he's wrong. Now, he wasn't an antichrist. Okay, he wasn't an antichrist. But it's like, come on. You know, that's just not a bad line if I don't even believe it. But there's an element there of being partially deceived. And so Satan has a bit of partially deceiving people. And there's a consequence for partially being deceived, you know. It's like, discipline your children. Well, I don't want to hurt their little spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, you know, you've been partially deceived and caused the whole world misery, you know. Okay, see, you got to discipline your kids. Bible tells you. Okay, you see what I'm saying? But again, so the reason, only thing I'm bringing out, don't be partially deceived, because one can be partially deceived, but it's through Scripture, and it still zeroes in on Christ. But none of those takes away our salvations or says the church bad or anything else, but we need to be alert to those things. So we'll end it with this. You have almost ended. We end it with this. That, you know, we're like David, and they say, we pray, say, give us the joy of our salvation, Lord. And we, like the Apostle Paul, want to proclaim at the end of our life that we finished well. And this is what Paul said, waiting for execution, 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. That's all he asked us to do. Right there. I fought the good fight. I finished the race, kept the way. Now, so the R.T. Kendall, which is the guy I really enjoy reading and where he comes from, he's 84 years old. He's a neat kind of guy. And they ask him, R.T. says, what can we pray for you? He goes, pray that I finish well. I think, good God, he's 84. You know, I think he's going to make it, you know, like that. But the reality of is he recognized the issue. He recognized the deception of Satan. He recognized the evil and the ability to fall. And so, no, if you pray for me, pray, I finish well. I mean, great word there. And here's the part, and I've read this before, but I just won't go through it, because God's telling us we understand salvation and rewards are two different things. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only through fire. You know, sometimes we're doing something, and we need to think, will this survive the fire? Will this survive? I mean, we're doing a lot of stuff. It's not going to survive the fire, okay? But say, okay, what directs your life? Will this survive the fire? Okay, so last week we examined eternal life and those Christians whose works stand the test of fire will be eternally rewarded. Without end, without beginning. Now, I don't understand without this beginning, but it is without beginning, without end. We will be rewarded for eternity. We will live with these gifts. Do you think the Apostle Paul is going to be gifted beyond measure? It's going to be for eternity, you know. And he says the same thing about us, what God tells us to do. God gave Paul a special assignment. And so that's the same thing. We want God. What are you telling us to do? But we need anybody within this, he said, beware of deceivers. They're antichrist. They're antichrist. So what we do, praise Jesus from whom all blessings flow, be confident, keep it simple. Just remember, that's where we start. Keep it simple. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Start there. Antichrist can't start there. Will not start there. Won't even lie about that he is. He'll deny it. Because that's the bit to destroy the foundation of everything else we believe in for him to succeed. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. Lord, we give you all things. And Lord, you love us and care for us, and you're just telling us what's going on in the world so that we will be alert. So that we will be alert and to see what's happening, and that we won't be fearful, and that understand that you're taking care of us, and that we can speak in confidence in any difficult situation. So we praise your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.